This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter. Presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Wednesday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
All right, and we're dealing with, you know, schizophrenic bipolar Oregon weather again today, and I'm over it, so...
Well, we started the week nice. Now we get the dreary, and we get the nice again on the other end.
I think out of 30 plus years, we'd be used to it, but no. Anyway, we got a really big show today. We're going to jump right in on the phone with us. President of American Commitment, Phil Kirpin, is joining us today. Phil, welcome to the show. It's great to have you.
Hey, my pleasure, Denise.
So, oh gosh, there's so much going on, and I have it on my, in my margin notes, Phil, to you know, because we have the Southern Poverty Law Center, we've got what happened in Virginia, but we wanted to focus today and talk.
Yeah.
I know it's crazy what we woke up to. We're focus of today though is on healthcare. Big insurers driving are the major drivers. The costs are rising. I've talked myself personally. I had to go out on the exchanges. I have garbage insurance for a ton of money, and I hate it.
It's. I know. I always try to convince my wife she just go uninsured and she won't do it. I mean, it's so much money, and then you know you don't get anything for it.
No,
you end up paying for everything anyway.
Exactly.
It's like it's a ridiculous system we have right now. Really.
Yeah.
And the insurance companies have been the huge winners. Their stocks are up 1,000% or whatever it is. The Democrats have done very well because the insurance companies give them tons of money, and they've got you know all the power that comes with building out these programs, but. Basically, everyone else has been losers. You know, the hospital systems have also done very well, but you know the amount of care is totally out of with.
Oh,
yeah, but the quality of care, I think, for most people has gone down in the last 10 or number of down. There's less choice and competition than ever. Physicians' practices are getting gobbled up left and right by the hospital systems, by the insurance companies, and by private equity. It's almost impossible anymore to stay in private. Like 60% of physicians' groups being independent to I think it's now under 20%. And they don't want to deal with the lower reimbursement rates from federal programs if you're on your own. And they don't want to deal with all the bureaucracy, triple bureaucracies. They got to deal with the government bureaucracies, with the insurance company bureaucracies. Then they got to deal with the local bureaucracies. It's just, it's unbelievable what we've done in terms of just loading on cost drivers that have actually made healthcare worse, not better. And here's the thing that's so insane, Denise. Mm-hmm. Every time the Democrats talk, voters still prefer health care because every time Republicans are in power, they do nothing.
Right.
Like, literally, they don't do anything on health care.
That's the frustrating part. It's like, well, you know, let's have Congress do it. Let's have the Republicans deal with it. And meanwhile, it doesn't. And of course, all of this was, again, political choices when Obamacare came in. In Oregon, the Oregon Health Plan, which
Healthy Oregon.
Whatever it was. Yeah. It was doomed to fail. Anybody with two eyes to see could see that it was going to get worse. And we can't really go, well, yeah, the Republicans will fix it. Nah, probably not.
It's crazy. You know, my favorite quote on this was from 2017. You remember, you know, the Republicans have voted to repeal Obamacare like 20 times. And then, you know, they said, oh, no, we need to win the House. And they won the House. They said, oh, we need the Senate. And then they won the Senate. And they said, oh, but if only we had the presidency. And then Trump won. And they were like, you know, the dog that caught the car. They didn't know what to do. My favorite quote was when Pat Toomey was a senator from Pennsylvania at the time. A reporter asked him, like, why aren't Republicans, like, on the same page with the health plan? Why aren't they ready to go? And you know what he said? He said, oh, we thought Hillary was going to win.
Oh.
That's what he said. Mm-hmm. I said, oh, that's nice. That's good. And, you know, here we are. It's another 8 years later. Mm-hmm. And... you know, they say all the right things. I mean, we just had this debate. You know, the Democrats shut down the government for 6 or 7 weeks last year, mm-hmm. and they went crazy about, oh, my God, if we don't have enhanced Obamacare subsidies, it's going to be the end of the universe. Everyone's going to die. It's going to be so horrible. And I do give Republicans credit. They stood up to that. Mm-hmm. They did not cave.
Right.
They said, this is a broken program. We're not going to throw even more money at the insurance companies. They actually had an alternative that the president supported where he said, look, if we're going to have subsidies, they need to go directly to individuals to use the way that they think makes sense, not to insurance companies. Mm-hmm. And I think they actually kind of got the upper hand of that argument politically. And then Democrats just moved on.
Yeah.
They just moved on to the next thing. They just stopped talking about it, and Republicans didn't actually pass anything, and they just said, oh, good, the Democrats aren't attacking us on health care anymore. We don't need to talk about it either, and we don't need to do anything.
And meanwhile, we've still got, you know, premiums, what you've got, like right. $25,000
exactly,
a year for families.
Exactly. Meanwhile, the problem's getting worse.
It's getting worse.
And it's extraordinarily frustrating. And then you look at these polls, and it's like Democrats still have an advantage on health care, and you're like, well, I mean, like, you know why? Because voters say, hey, maybe the stuff they're doing isn't working, but at least they try. At least they care. At least they know it's a problem. And, I mean, that's why I keep telling all these Republicans, like, you have so many good ideas, but you can't agree on any of them. Like, you got to, like, all get together, figure this out, and actually do something to get a functioning healthcare system. I mean, if we could change all of these drivers, it's all policy drivers that have consolidated everything. It's been a total disaster for most people, with the insurance companies and the hospital systems buying up everything. No real choice, no real competition,
right.
Prices through the roof. Yep. Like, let's reverse all of that. Let's have way more independent physicians and imaging centers and surgical centers and clinics and hospitals. Let's grow the supply side, and let's put money into people's pockets to control, not directly to insurance companies, and let's have prices so that people can make decisions. Like, we did these basic things. We know that people would be really much better served if they had choices and they controlled the dollars, and we'd get much better outcomes, and they'd be rewarded politically if they did that. And I keep telling them, too, like, whatever you want to do in healthcare, be like 100 times more ambitious, because everyone hates everything about the direction it's going.
Right.
So you'll be rewarded if you try to do more rather than less. So it is frustrating, I'll say.
It's interesting. I'm seeing a lot of, if you're out on social media, you know, this mom and her son, they decided to just opt themselves out. So they popped out of the system and they're going uninsured. And she's asking for cash prices at the doctor, and it's significantly lower. So I'm starting to see some of that. And that's fine, I think, if you're a young, healthy 30-year-old.
One of the things I see a lot of these stories, too, about people getting great cash prices and negotiating. And I'm totally for that. Mm-hmm. And first of all, it helps if you have more than one provider in town, because in a lot of places now there's just one health system that owns everything.
That's true.
And, you know, you can't negotiate with them, you're done. So, you know, growing the supply side is critical to everything else that we do on healthcare today for people to have those choices. But, you know, the other thing that, you know, I was just lobbying, I hate the word lobbying. I don't really lobby. But I was just talking to a congressional staffer yesterday. And I said, look, it's great that people are negotiating cash prices, but in most health plans, that doesn't count towards your deductible and your out-of-pocket cap.
Yep.
And so most people say, I'll just pay whatever the insurance is because I got to burn through my deductible anyway.
Yep.
So one of the simplest things they could do would just be to say, look, if you negotiate a cash price, that's going to count against your deductible and your out-of-pocket maximum. That would go a long way,
just that
people,
one thing.
You know, actually caring what these things cost and negotiating over them.
Yeah, just that one thing would go... Yes. I've thought the same thing. I mean, because, you know, it's always like, you know, I don't know, in the Army, the $5,000 toilet seat, or, you know, the $200 Tylenol. And so just that one thing. But there doesn't seem to be any will on the Republicans' parts to even do that.
Well, they just, you know, what happens when you talk to individual members, here's what happens. They say, oh, I totally agree with you, but, you know, we can't get all the Republicans to agree, so we can't do it. And it's like when Nancy Pelosi was up there, she could rule with an iron fist, and whatever it was, they'd all fall in line. And we all remember how, you know, so many of their members who voted for Obamacare knew they were going to lose their seats over it. They did it anyway.
Yeah.
Because getting it done was more important than the political implications for them. But on our side, it's always like, oh, no, we're going to lose this guy and that guy and the other guy, so we can't do it.
Just makes me mad. Makes me mad. I don't see it getting better anytime soon. And the options for popping out. Like I said, if you're a healthy 30-year-old, that's great. If you're, you know, 60 years old, not so much. So there's different needs and things like that. But we're definitely not getting. Before we let you go, I mean, I know Virginia. I mean, you saw the news breaking today. We all pretty much probably saw that was going to happen. You have any thoughts on that you want to share?
Well, you know, it's. It ended up being, I think, a 3-point win, which was one of the most dishonest ballot languages I've ever seen.
Oh, my gosh. No kidding.
Restore fairness by you know, drawing the most gerrymandered map anyone's ever seen. But, I mean, the thing about a crazy gerrymander is, you know, look, it'll probably hold up this year and they'll get their 10-1 that they want, mm-hmm. okay, because it's probably going to be a pretty Democratic year. But, you know, if 28 is not a very Democratic year, it could crack, and it could elect a lot of Republicans. So, I mean, you spread these things out, sometimes they can blow up on you, and, you know, we'll see how it plays out. But, you know, I think I personally find it ridiculous how many of these states do this now on both sides of the aisle through all these ridiculous maps. I like the way Iowa does it, where they basically have totally objective criteria. You can just program into a computer, and it makes the most compact, contiguous districts, and that's it, and you're running them. I don't love these commissions where, you know, you put quote-unquote bipartisan or nonpartisan so-called experts, because you look at what the maps they've drawn in California, they've been pretty bad, honestly. Not as bad as the one that they just imposed, but I like the idea of objective criteria, and it just is what it is, and it's not impossible.
No,
I mean, that's basically what Iowa does, and yeah, I would love to see that, but instead we've got this ridiculous race, you know, to draw the craziest maps, and you know, you got to say that President Trump thought he was being very clever urging Texas to do this, but it kind of blew up in his face, because when you have a ruthlessness contest with Democrats, they're better at it.
They are.
That's the thing.
That's so true. Phil Kirpin, American Commitment, AmericanCommitment.org. What we're talking about on healthcare, he's got an op-ed out there on that. As always, Phil, thank you so much. Thanks for sharing your wisdom and your thoughts with us today. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Okay, you too. All right, we're going to take our first break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Salem Clinic Urgent Care.
You said that with gravitas in your voice. It's urgent care.
You got to make it, you know, interesting. Little inflection here and there.
Of course. Always good to talk to Phil Kirpin again. AmericanCommitment.org. He is the president over there. He has really good insights. One of the things he said, too, as far as, you know, if you're going to the redistricting and what happened in Virginia about, you know, President Trump kind of throwing down the gauntlet on Texas, and it kind of backfire. And whenever you lay that down, Democrats are going to say, hold my beer, and they're going to take it up to 11. And they do that every time. And I don't know why Republicans don't seem to. It's even the same thing with nuking the filibuster.
Well, and I just sit here and I go, I would love to see what Iowa does done, you know, across the nation, because it makes sense. It's simplified. Yeah. I mean, you look at some of these congressional maps where it's like literally here's this area that's all, you know, one area, but it's got these little offshoots that shoot out and get this like one little very leftist community over
here.
They'll
have like a little half the street. They did it in Salem when they redistricted in Salem, and they changed Ward 3, Ward 2. And it's usually done punitively. Mm-hmm. And you've got these squeezed little things and then a little bulb over here. And then one neighbor on that side could be in Ward 1, and one could be over in Ward 2. It's just crazy.
They're just trying to make a complicated paint with colors kind of outline map.
Right, exactly. It's abstract. It's like a Jackson Pollock. It's beautiful. I love this. Pro tip, as long as our opponents want to win more than we do, we will keep losing to our opponents. That's kind of what he was kind of getting at. Mm-hmm. I don't seem like it seems, and I know so many people that have just had it with the Republicans. They're like, if you're not going to fight for us, what am I voting for you for?
Well, I sit here and I go listening to him talk about the Republicans and the way they deal with the healthcare issue, and I'm sitting here going, I mean, I remember when they put Obamacare in, and I knew exactly which direction it was going to go and how it was going to destroy everything. You could see it from a mile away.
Yeah,
it happened anyway, and now it's been, you know, years of talk of either repealing it or changing it or yada yada, but it never actually gets done. I go, what I'm really hearing you say is the Republicans that we elect are as squishy as the Republicans that are doing the electing and the voting and the apathy and the one issue. Yeah. You know. Well, we like that idea, and are they afraid of a step in the right direction? Because that's what it is.
Incrementalism.
You give up a little bit to move a step in the right direction. Instead, we're like, we're not going to even move in that step in the right direction because I'm not getting everything I want.
It's so funny. You're absolutely right. And it happens it's rinse, lather, repeat. It happens every cycle. It's so maddening. It was out on a Twitter exchange today talking about that. There's an individual out there saying, you know, regardless of what happens, we'll talk about some poll numbers and stuff with Jeff Reynolds tomorrow. We'll dig in deeper into that. But just sort of in general, one of these four candidates is going to be the nominee. Most likely it'll be either Christine Drazen or Chris Dudley. Although if you look at some of these polls, you know, but again, we'll dive into that. And then a call for unity. What you have to do now is every Republican, every rank and file Republican has to vote for whoever that candidate is, because the base is not large enough to all on its own. You need the NAVs, you need the disaffected Ds. And as soon as I started scrolling, I'm like, taking my coffee, girding the loins, and it's like, and here it goes. Well, how can a Republican vote for someone who supports this? It's just like, oh, please. What are you doing? You're giving up before the game has even started.
Well, I just sit here and I go, a few weeks ago, I had this kind of really good feeling about especially the top 4 to 5 candidates on the Republican side, that no matter which one of them wins, it's not going to feel like 4 years ago where, you know, with 19 people out there, everyone took their ball and went in a different direction after the primary election.
What, let me ask you, what made you think that at that time?
It felt like the candidates, especially the top four, were kind of on the same page where they were much more willing to get together.
Yeah.
Especially after watching the body language from Christine Drazen and Chris Dudley in particular at this forum last week. I don't have that same feeling anymore.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like Ed Deal mentioned, you know, getting together for records. I didn't see any one of them stand up and say, you know, I'm happy to
with
do
you,
that.
With you, brother. Right there with you.
I didn't see that. I just saw this kind of look from Drazen and Dudley that said, I'm here because it's kind of expected of me. I'm not really interested in doing this, which then leads me down the road. If Ed Deal were to win or Daniel Bethel were to win, are they willing to sit there and say, we need to get the Republicans behind this because, you know, they have a large swath of that metro area.
Right, right. I don't know. And then, of course, you've got, that's interesting. And then it changed because of the body, which we all we all kind of, those of us who finally were able to watch that for him. Sorry, I had to put that in there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not bitter, though. I just did get, it was in my spam. And just looking at the comments, and again, just seeing what happens every cycle. Well, you've got people. Well, my person didn't win, and then the purity tests. We get past that. Especially, I'm sorry. I hate abortion. It's an evil. It's not on the ballot right now. Mm-hmm. Nothing can happen with that. So even if, and that's the thing with people saying, "Well, I could never vote for Dudley because he's pro-choice." But there isn't an, it's not there. Yeah. Look at the other things. Vote in your best interest for financial things, for freedom, for education, for all those things, because that issue is not. And I know the D's make it an issue every time,
and
too.
That's
it's codified. It's just, you're not dealing with it there.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's why are you allowing the Democrat side of the aisle to work you up on that issue?
Yeah.
Because it's not an issue. They know it's not going anywhere, but they want you single issue voters to sit there and go, well, he's pro-choice, I'm not going to vote for him.
Right. And somebody who, they don't have that talking point on the D side. If you have if you're looking at it from a, you know, just a strategic point of view, that talking point goes away. So the purity tests drive me crazy. And so it is sort of apathetic. We talked about apathy yesterday. We talk about that a lot. And again, this narrative that it's sometimes, a lot of it's coming out from within the party, that it's all rigged, that vote by mail, until we get rid of that. I see that a million times over. I'm just not going to bother. What's the point? And then these are the same people that will turn around and look at people who have finally said, you know what, I've been in the trenches here for a long time. I can see the writing on the wall. Perhaps the battle's not here. I'm going to move to where it is. And the same people that have a purity test and won't vote in the primary are going to lecture. It's like, it's just enough already.
Well, unfortunately, you know, here in Oregon, we live in a state where tyranny can rule and people are willing to give up rights
time.
And people are willing to give and give and give. And what is the tipping point where they finally sit there and go, I've given too much? And unfortunately, the people that have feel that way have packed up and left.
Yeah.
And they still care. They still have family here. They still have things they care about in the state of Oregon. So, of course, they have the ability to chime in.
Right.
The other part of it is, as we know, it's a little like the plague, and it is spreading.
Right.
And it will continue to spread into those areas where people packed up and moved to.
Absolutely. What happened in Virginia yesterday, and it was a very narrow margin, but it doesn't matter. 51, whatever, is now ruling everybody else. And like Phil was talking about that. It's all about fairness and how many people who don't do any research, who frankly, gosh, if you're not going to do the basic research, stay home. Because now you've got that. And literally, Glenn Youngkin, the former governor, was on X this morning saying, don't think it can't happen to your red state. Looking at you, Idaho. Looking at you, Nevada. Looking at you, you know, whatever. Iowa. I mean, Iowa's probably a little more strong that way. It can happen anywhere. You've got an electorate. And again, that is nationwide because the education system has come down so much and the indoctrination and people don't do basic research. And you do have progressive communist Marxist Democrats infiltrating into those red states. And they know you start out at the school board level. You start out at the city council level, county commission, which is why you you and I talk about constantly, how important those races are, because that they know they get in there. You start changing it little by little by little there, and it metastasizes out. No state is safe from this, frankly, none. But then you just sort of pick your battlefield. Do you decide, is Virginia lost? That's the narrative this morning. Yes. Is it forever? I think he had a good point about 2028. Mm-hmm. Maybe not. It may and flip around again. So all is not lost, but everyone has a right to pick where they're going to plant their flag and where their battlefield is.
And the deeper we dig into things that the vast majority of us don't want, even if it sounds like the greatest idea in the world, when you actually break it down, do the research, you learn it's not something you want. The deeper we get to that hole, the bigger the hill to climb out of it becomes.
Yeah, exactly right.
And that's each and every election cycle.
Yeah, yeah. And if you're going to sit here and say, well, I'm going to take my ball and go home, and then you're going to say you're going to fight, well, I want to know what that means to you, because if it's pounding out tweets on a keyboard, that ain't fighting. That's doing nothing.
Well, you know.
What does staying and fighting look like? And I think that's a good conversation, because that's a valid option. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So is moving. That's a valid option. Both are valid options, and people do it for different reasons and have different battlefields. So, yeah, just kind of seeing that call for unity. I hope people heed that and they do that. I hope that whoever wins, I know they're talking about you vote with your heart in the primary. I'm saying vote with your brain in both. Pick the one, that way they come out of the primary with a really strong number. Not, what did Christine have, like 23%? That's not real strong.
Less than a quarter of the
electorate.
If you could
get, someone who comes out with like 40%, 50, whatever. Mm-hmm. I would like to see that. But people do vote with their heart. They vote for who they like, whether they have a chance of winning or not.
Well, and it comes down to the general and being able to rally the troops behind whoever does win the primary, which is where we struggle so much in this state.
Amen, amen, amen. All right, everybody, we're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour news and come back with Matt Massera, who's going to talk to us today. Come on back.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
All righty, welcome back, everybody. Feeling feisty, ranty today. I don't know. Maybe it's the weather.
Probably a little bit, you know.
You know what I'm going to...
It's dreary. You kind of got to... You know, swing the other direction.
Right. Otherwise, it's either that or take a nap. But I know what'll make me feel better today. I'm going to go to Cozy's and I'm going to get a gabagool. I think that's what I need.
You're supposed to wait till the beginning of the last segment to start talking about that. Otherwise, we might get hunger noises.
That's how verklempt I am right now. I have to talk about a gabagool right now. So now, see, I feel better.
Mm-hmm.
I feel better.
Namaste.
Needs a treatza later. Okay, cool. All right. Well, Matt Massera, Be Bold Minister of Street Ministries, is joining us. Matt, it's great to see you.
Good to see you, too.
It's a gabagool. Doesn't that sound like it would cure all the ails of the world?
Sounds amazing. Yeah.
Well, we haven't had you on in a while, and I want to talk to you because you were recently in Honduras, and we'll talk to you about that in a little bit. But you do have an event coming up, and we want to make sure we let our listeners know about that.
Awesome, yeah. April 29th. It's a fundraiser for the ministry. It's the Kaiser Civic Center. It's from 11:45 to 1 p.m., and all the RSVPs would go to Dan Farrington at Comcast.net, DanFarrington at Comcast.net. It's going to be a great time. A lot of folks coming through. There's going to be testimonies and just, you know, give a great overview of the ministry, and excited to have a room full of people from the local community and, you know, some from up and down the I-5 corridor.
Yeah. Cool. I know people, you know, you guys listening, probably Be Bold Street Ministries are familiar that we partner up with you for our February food and clothing drive every year. We've done that for 5 years. I think we've been partnering with you for three of those five?
At least three, if maybe four.
Yeah, maybe four. So we know the work that you do, but tell us a little bit more about kind of the work that you guys are doing out there on the streets.
Yeah, so we are Christ-centered evangelism, making disciples of Jesus Christ ministry. The paramount message for us is the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we're out sharing that truth all over Oregon, all over the United States, and all over the world. We also get to help people get plugged into different services that are helpful, because in Oregon there are plenty that are actually really harmful. So, and we do not refer people to those types of services.
Yeah. When you say harmful, without, I don't want you to name names, but what is harmful? What does that mean?
Like, you know, organizations that give youth meth pipes and needles and foil and adults. We're not okay with those types of items.
Under the guise of harm reduction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's a lie.
Yeah.
The manipulation of our language is what that really
right?
is.
Yeah, lingual gymnastics doesn't change the fact that it's absolutely evil, and it keeps people stuck. It sets people up for failure because you're giving them the tool that they're putting the deadly mind-altering substance into their body. So for sure, we are in opposition to all that, but we get to refer people to a lot of places like the UGM, Soaring mm-hmm. Heights Recovery Homes, mm-hmm. when it comes to, you know, help people get into detox and then help them transition to like Adult and Teen Challenge, things of this nature. And the ministry will help with somebody's first month's rent and their bed fee to relieve some of the stress.
Mm-hmm.
So we get to see a lot of people come up and off the streets. And then for us, getting them plugged into biblically solid, biblically sound churches, you know, biblical discipleship. Yeah. So we're making disciples of Jesus Christ. We're following Jesus. We're teaching other people to follow Jesus. And we're all following Jesus together.
Yeah.
And we get to bring the body of Christ together. So there's only one body, one church.
Yep.
So making sure we have the, you know, the message is the same, that we're teaching the gospel.
Yeah.
Because there's only one.
Yes.
So, and then all coming together, reach the city, love our neighbors as ourselves, which goes hand in hand with loving the Lord thy God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And Bible teaching, Bible believing. Mm-hmm. The mission is found in the Word of God. The vision was always God's. It's found in the Word. And how we do it is also found in the Word of God. So.
And then taking that message directly to the streets and talking to people. And so are you seeing, does that have a ripple effect out there?
Oh, it's huge.
Yeah.
Well, and that's such a great question because like even for my own life and so many people, we reach out to people in Oregon, like if we were just to focus here, right?
Mm-hmm.
That are involved in organized crime, that are involved in all kinds of criminality, mm-hmm. that are involved in all kinds of activity within the drug world. So you see one of those individuals share the gospel. They believe because mm-hmm. they have a choice to make. We don't save anybody. God does.
Right, right.
But when the individual does believe on the gospel of Christ for salvation, the forgiveness of their sins, and then we get them plugged into a biblically solid church, mm-hmm. we continue to connect with them, follow up, teach them to obey all that God has commanded us, like it says in the Great Commission. What happens in society when that individual gets saved? God transforms their heart.
Mm-hmm.
And they walk in the newness of life by way of the Holy Spirit because somebody's teaching them to follow Jesus. They stop committing crime
yep.
in our community. They stop selling poison, manufacturing poison, using poison. They stop being involved in gang life and criminality. So how does that affect society?
It's huge.
Everything that everybody's always screaming about when it comes to the drug world and addiction, all those things dissipate for the individual. So they're no longer poisoning other people's children.
Right.
Right. So it because we're focusing on the source of everything wrong with the world, and the source is sin,
mm-hmm.
and the sin is produced by people, and Jesus is the only answer.
Right. Right. And you can't, I don't know, so many people want to take it sort of this big giant look at things, and it becomes this overwhelming problem, and you bring it down to the individual. Mm-hmm. And then look at how then from there, and I'm using my hands because I am Italian. you bring it there, amazing. And then that you do the you do this way, that way you go out from that person. Which mm-hmm. is, it makes perfect sense,
mm-hmm.
doesn't it?
Oh, I would love it if we could come up with better policies that would actually help the individual rather than this one size fits all. Throw them all under a roof and we're in good shape.
And throw
mentality.
Money at them.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, go ahead.
Bottomless pit.
Yeah, to me it's getting worse.
It is, and it's continued to get worse. And we've continued to share that stuff, and ultimately, you know, we're going out. Oregon is, it's like a petri dish. Try it in Oregon and see how it goes. That's why we're
always
the worst in the nation for, you know, a number of things. And there's a reason for that.
And it's so funny because it's always like, well, it's California. We always sit there and go, no, just go a little north. It all kind of starts here. It does seem like a lot of the worst ideas have started here. I go back even to assisted suicide, Kevorkian and all of that. Mm. I mean, even vote by mail and some of the worst things, social experiments and things kind of had their genesis, their start here.
Well, and even to go back to like the needle exchanges and stuff like that, right? And I'm going to share this. And it gives a clear picture because there are so many people that can do the lingual gymnastics, justify and redefine internally.
Yeah.
Giving somebody a meth pipe that is using the deadly mind-altering substance, methamphetamine, or giving somebody a needle that is using fentanyl is like giving somebody that's suicidal a loaded gun with one in the chamber and then leaving the room.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to let that sit there for a second because that's absolutely right. Yeah.
And I use that picture. I mean, my brother, you know, he took his own life, and I share that for a reason because it is really hard for me, and I navigate it with truth. But when I hear people like out promoting that, it's terrible. Like, I hate it. It's evil. I have an insatiable hatred for it, mm-hmm. and my hatred for it grows because I see the catastrophic effects in families. I do the celebration of life services, you know, and so these folks are making a bunch of money, so they're cool with it, and I'm not, and that's a good thing.
I hear that in your voice as well, and I share that sentiment. You've got a lot of people out on the street that are providing those things to individuals that think that they are doing something kind, caring, and compassionate. How do you change that mindset? You're not going to dissuade them from the mission that they have, and it's presented to the public as if it's kind, compassionate, and helping. So I don't know. How do you change that? Or do you just not? That's a thing that you've got to deal with.
I know I do. I do speak up and I speak out and I do get screamed at. And people share other things with me in reference to they don't like, you know, that I speak up and that I speak up out about that. And I'm going to be okay with that. I'm not, you know, no portion of my life. I don't wake up in the morning and put any effort into being liked, popular, or I'm not a people pleaser. Following Jesus.
Right.
And what happens with Jesus when he shows up and I'm not him, I'm following him.
Right.
He does everything right. He's perfect. And the response is torture and kill him.
Right.
And so I know it's inevitable that I'm going to get pushback, but with me, I'm not going to be able to have some form of debate with somebody that thinks evil things are good and good things are evil. So I'm for sure going to share the word of God because it's never going to return void. Isaiah 55 says it. It'll always go forth and return to God, having produced exactly what he sent it forth to do. And I share the gospel with them because there's no convincing somebody what you're doing is evil outside of they come to the knowledge of the truth. They get saved. God transforms their heart. And then he's going to do it.
You're not going to do it.
I know. Yeah, we don't finish anything he starts. It's amazing that we get to participate in anything he's doing. But that's what I say, because there's so much of just screaming at people that are lost. And all they can be is lost. So everything they're doing makes sense according to Scripture. They're separated by way of unbelief. They're positioned against God as his enemy. So how does that change? How does their heart change? How do they get a new way of thinking? It's only with them, you know, making the choice to believe. And they have a choice, right? God doesn't force people to be restored to right relationship with him. But it's amazing we get to share and we get to impact the community in so many ways. It's just, and it's super, it's exciting, it's fun. And I love seeing God transform people that society and the entire world writes off as hopeless, unreachable, lost cause. Don't waste your time. It's never going to matter. And I love watching him take the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, the things that the world says are unimportant, and watch what he does.
The things that the world says are important are...
Yes.
So I just... What do we have? 44. Can we keep... You want to hang around for one more segment? Because I got some more questions. I want to talk about Honduras, too. Again, we're talking with Matt Massera, Bebold Street Ministries. We're going to take that last break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denison Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and Cozy's New York Deli.
And there it is, and it is in my future. It is closer now in my future, too. I'm so excited.
Every minute gets every you a minute little closer.
I am, not that I'm counting down or anything. Come on. And anyway, if anybody wants to join me out there, I'll be out there at Cozy's around 1:30. Okay. all right. We're talking with Matt Massera, Bebold Street Ministries. Before we took the break, you said something. You fully expect to sort of be met with hostility, to be met with hate, unfortunately. Sadly, hopefully not violence, but that's always an option. There are a lot of people out there that are hearing your message and hearing what you're talking about on this issue, and frankly, a lot of others where you are speaking the truth, you're speaking the gospel, you want to speak, you want to talk, can I talk to you about Jesus? And people are like, absolutely not. But they're afraid to say anything, even something basic, just to sort of defend what they believe because they don't want to be called those names. We have to get over that.
Yeah, I've been called a great many things.
Yeah.
And I have been assaulted, like physically assaulted.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
And so it's just a part of it. And, you know, I'm not losing any sleep over somebody sharing some sort of denigrating statement that doesn't line up with reality or truth.
Yeah.
Because those terms are being used to oppress people that believe on the gospel of Jesus Christ from sharing.
Yeah.
And some of those things can cause people to stay comfortable in their fear of not sharing, you know, because they don't want to hear the statement. They don't want to be rejected. But what do we see in Scripture? Like, we're to follow in the sufferings of our Savior.
Right.
And it's not that we're going out with the intentions, I hope I offend a bunch of people today.
Right.
Because that's not the heart position.
Yeah. Yep.
It's, I love you, and I'm going to be like, if you're going to get frustrated at with me, I would rather have you be frustrated with me because I love you and I care for your soul so much, and you have a choice to make. But I'm for sure going to share, and then I'm going to walk away, and my conscience is clear because, you know, I didn't have this opportunity, and then not share with you because the potential for you to freak out on me, cuss me out, whatever it is. Kept me from sharing. I'm not, my confidence, my courage, and my boldness, it comes from the Holy Spirit, and I'm sharing all the way out 365 days a year. And I do share stuff, well, because it is the truth. People don't like it.
The truth.
Yeah, the truth.
The truth. Yes, I know. Yeah. That seems to be sort of societal, you know, my truth, your truth. No, it's, there is
truth isn't
one
a subjective
truth.
Term.
No, it's
the
not.
Society's cobbled it together
right.
to make it a subjective term based off from what that means to the individual. But truth is truth, and that's what I'm sharing from the Word of God.
Yeah.
Loving people, actually loving people. And I'm okay with being hated. And I've had people say, well, you know, if we're going to talk, if we're going to meet up, you got to leave that out. And I said, I love you. And so if you want me to leave the Word of God out, then for sure we're not going to meet because I'm not going to agree to that.
Yeah.
And I said, it's, I mean, really oppressive for you to ask me that because you know who I am in Christ and you know that the sole purpose of me meeting up is going to be, you know, to walk through life with you.
Right.
And it's all about
interesting
like,
request
sharing,
for you.
Sharing
what are
Jesus.
They? Yeah. We want to talk about, you know, Coachella, social media. No.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, you did mention too before we took the break too. You've been in Honduras, and so tell us a little bit. We never have enough time with you, Matt. So talk to us real quick about what happened. Yeah, real quick. What happened in Honduras?
It was amazing.
Yeah.
So we went down there, and we're flying. And as soon as we get off the plane, drop our stuff off after like a day of flying, and then straight to the first prison. And the first prison was a prison filled with MS-13 members.
Oh.
And on the trip, total over 500 people. Believed in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for salvation, the forgiveness of their sins, and so many testimonies. But in the first prison, there was this fella, multinational MS-13 leader, right? Killer.
Yep.
Murdering, ordering the murdering of tons of people, surrenders his life to Jesus Christ, and then shedding tears.
Wow.
And there will be a picture of him at our upcoming fundraiser.
Yeah.
So we'll have a photo slide story, and it's just him standing there with his shirt off, MS-13 tattooed all over him. Just a straight-up killer, and then just watching godly sorrow be produced immediately.
Yeah.
And a bunch of people on that yard got saved. We're just intermingling with everybody. And it was amazing. And our hotel was like right in an MS-13 in Barrio de Siocho war zone, so a neighborhood 18. Gunshots. Yeah, it was an awesome trip.
It's radio, but I'm like, so he's still incarcerated?
Yeah.
So I'd have to think about the ripple effects from that, especially if he was a higher up guy and to have that transformation is.
Yeah, and then how God can use him.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Did you feel fear when you were down there?
No.
Yeah.
No, I know death.
Yeah.
I faced it and put my life on the line for some really lame stuff in my old life. So. And when God calls us to go, no matter what's on the other side of the door, we know that he went before us and that he created these good works for us to walk into ahead of time. Mm-hmm. And he encompasses us all the way. So no matter what's on the other side of the door, we trust him. We don't doubt him. And the love that we have for God and people that comes from him is what motivates everything we do. And he saved us by grace. Through faith in his son, Jesus Christ alone, and created us for these beautiful things to be about. And everything I just said, easy and comfortable was never promised.
Nope.
So there's always stuff. There's always warfare.
That's easy and comfortable seems to be sort of the way of the world right now. Yeah. Especially in, you know, with the Western world, we're all very, you, when you really look at it, even just back a few generations about the hardships, we have it very, very easy and very, very comfortable, and it makes people very, very complacent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know, you know, mm-hmm. but, and afraid to be called names. And it, whether it's on any issue too, people are just, they're not, people aren't speaking up for the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So, yep. So what's somebody calls you a name? So what?
Yeah.
Is, really?
I'm not, I'm not losing any sleep.
No,
over
no. But a lot of people do. I get that yeah. human, you know, to want to belong and to not want to be ostracized and to want to be part of the group. I fully understand that part of human nature, but there's a lot of big issues that we got to deal with. So what do we have? How much time do we have?
We got about 3 minutes.
3 minutes.
So.
So Honduras, you were there. You went to a number of prisons.
Yeah. Multiple yeah. prisons. We went to 3 prisons. We were in a women's prison, and within the last few years, they had a riot, and I think it was, well, it was more than 40 women that were murdered. And so these ladies, super ruthless, MS-13 members, you know, 18 Street members.
Yeah.
And one of the ways that they got a bunch of these ladies trapped, and then they burned them alive.
Oh my.
Started them on fire and watched them burn to death. And so we got to go in there, and a bunch of ladies, same thing, just surrendered their life to Jesus. And then you just see the godly sorrow start pouring out of their eyes. And it's amazing, and it's unfakeable. It's just,
well,
like,
that's what I was going to ask you. It is unfakeable.
Yeah, it's because it's godly sorrow that is producing repentance.
Yeah.
And they're just, as we're sharing testimony and we're going in, we're sharing the gospel, and we just call it what it is. Everything that's gotten you to where you're at is sin.
Yeah.
You know, we're not, it's so important that we use that word.
It's interesting that you talk about murderers and doing all this. Nobody is too far gone.
Nobody.
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 Because if you think, that guy? Really?
I know. Nobody's too far gone.
Yeah.
Because if the gospel isn't available to everybody, then it's available to nobody.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I'll use a term, and maybe you'll understand this too. So even like with what we got going on all over the world, you know what God wants to do? He wants to save all the Nebuchadnezzars of the world too.
Really?
He saved one way back.
I know. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, and these folks are not too far gone either.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about the God of all creation.
Right, yeah.
You know, so the person on the street, funneling dope, whatever it is, you know, running criminal organizations, enterprises, not too far gone. And God also loves saving perfect people. Perfect people.
I don't
Can
know
you
any.
See my hands?
I know. I was going to say, I don't know.
I know.
We do a lot of air quotes around here.
That's amazing. We love it. You know, the people that is like, you don't have it all figured out. But
those are the really nice ones, right?
This is awesome. And everybody in between.
Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. Yep. Well, we're almost out of time. Real quick, let's remind people about the events that you've got coming up, the details on that. Again, if you're driving, I will put all that in show notes. We got about a minute, man.
Yeah. Kaiser Civic Center, April 29th, 11:45 to 1 p.m. And it's a fundraiser for Be Bold Street Ministries. It's going to be an amazing time of just proclaiming the wondrous deeds of the Lord. And all RSVPs go to danfarrington@comcast.net.
Okay. And that email I will put in there as well. You guys have a website if people want to learn more about the ministry too.
BeBoldStreetMinistries.org. And if there's people that are listening that want to come out and go share the gospel with us, evangelize and make disciples of Jesus Christ, please get a hold of us. We got a form on there. Okay. They can turn it in. It goes right to us. We'd love to have more laborers into the harvest.
And you got merch out there too.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that helps. Yeah. That helps. I have one of your Hope Dealer, and so probably see a lot of those while we're in town.
Yeah, I'll see kids wearing them on their way to school, and that is a great thing to see.
And awesome evangelism tools.
Absolutely, absolutely. Matt, we're out of time again. Matt Massera, Be Bold Street Ministries. Thanks for coming in, sharing your heart with us, and that's all we've got for today. So we will see you tomorrow. We got a great show planned for you tomorrow. See you tomorrow.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.